And being of service is how it feeds my soul, you know, most. What happened to me and how I am healing and, you know, a completely different person and not in severe emotional pain, I want for everybody. I want it for people that I love, because I have people that I love dearly that are suffering. And, you know, everybody's on their own path. I read something in a book earlier, and it said, what's meant for you will never miss you. You know, a good way to describe how it works in my life is prayer is asking and meditation is listening. I thought it was the end of the world when somebody didn't love me. You know, this is a journey from your mind to your heart. This is fear to love. You know, one thing that he said was, live your life for yourself. You live in vain. Live for others, and you live again.
Hi, and welcome to the I Love Success podcast. Before we get started, I just want to say thank you for deciding to listen to this episode. Thank you for making a conscious decision to be open to learn and improve in order to lead a better life. And even though I have a big mission to help at least 10 million people in 10 years to achieve their dreams, right now, you are the most important person to me. I love meeting incredible human beings and sharing their amazing life journeys. My job is to listen, ask the right questions, and challenge the status quo. This week, I welcome the loving and kind Jessie Brown, a mother, a yogi, and a spiritual healer that is committed to share with an open heart. Her yoga practice has left her on an inward journey of self-discovery. Beyond the postures and breathing that keeps her flexible, strong, and healthy, yoga has taught Jessie that life unfolds exactly as it's supposed to. She's part of an amazing mission with the nonprofit Worthy Beyond Purpose that teach engaging and actionable meditation and mindfulness techniques to children and youth. Let's welcome Jessie Brown.
Hi, Peter. Thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah, I'm excited. We had the honor of practicing yoga with you a couple of times, and it's just fun and exciting to meet people that are loving, that you can see that they want to share, they want to give to the world. So thank you for doing that. I just want to ask you and kind of go back to, where does that come from?
My need
to be of service. You need to share and be of service and help other people.
So, you know, I suffered greatly from my childhood. Which I didn't really realize that, because I always had this like happy jokester, you know, I would kind of cover things up with this, so it wasn't really known, but I did have a difficult time when I was younger. My parents divorced, I was separated from my mom for a little while, lived with different family members, and I just never really felt like I belonged. I think like 5 or 6 is when I can remember this. And, you know, so this went on for many years. And when I did have a spiritual awakening, when I started to consciously heal, and I realized that I needed to start healing, this is what it circled around to: service. And being of service is how it feeds my soul, you know, most.
That's beautiful. So how does that journey like kind of begin? You came to LA. Was that kind of the beginning of your change, or did you already change before?
No, I did not change. I wanted to change. I always was a seeker. I was a true seeker for many, many years. I remember in like maybe 1998, I read the Celestine Prophecy, and that really touched my heart a lot. But I would still just, you know, the devil was on this shoulder, the angel was on this shoulder, and I was just usually hanging out with the devil, you know? And I, like I said, that guidance that brought me here, it took me a little while until I had discovered yoga maybe 8 years ago. And I saw these people, they looked like they were, you know, so peaceful and community, and I wanted that. And I would go once a week and then not go for 2 weeks. It could just never really, I think I was dealing with a lot of shame. So I would go and then I would feel like I didn't belong. You know, this was a cycle for me all the time. I didn't belong. I don't belong.
Why were you ashamed?
Well, here's the thing with shame. I believe that I had shame in my body from, that wasn't even mine. I believe in, that we take on things from our ancestors. So I think this has a lot to do with it. And also, I do believe that certain religions, you know, create this for you in your mind. If you're born a sinner, then that's kind of could be taken as shame. Yeah. You know, like, I'm bad. I'm doing things wrong.
I think, like, that's a problem we see with a lot of human beings in the world. They don't feel worthy. They are ashamed. And I want to kind of, like, dig a little bit deeper into this because you're not alone in this. So can you just share, like, what's the process of overcoming that?
The process is, so, you know, I feel like my coming here was grace, you know, and this is something that's very confusing to me. Is grace, is it's like given to me, or do I grasp for it? You know, because I want, what happened to me and how I am healing and, you know, a completely different person and not in severe emotional pain, I want it for everybody. I want it for people that I love, because I have people that I love dearly that are suffering. And, you know, everybody's on their own path. But
where do you start, though? Like, that's the hardest part, I feel, because we're seeing so many people that feel unworthy. I've been there myself. You know, you're ashamed of maybe who you are, or you don't believe in yourself or your abilities. So, like, where is that start, you think?
I believe that there's angels and guides and helpers. People come, you know, people come to you. And this is part of the grace. So I always had, you know, my mom was so loving and so amazing, and I just wouldn't listen to her, you know. It just, I know she wanted it to be her, but it couldn't be. And when I moved here and started practicing yoga, I went to the yoga studio, which are, you know, Sarah Falugo, who owns a Yoga Nest, which I'm a big part of this community now. I was really trying to stop doing what I was doing. And I was in, I accidentally went to a yin class one day. I would never go to a yin class. I was like, wanted to do vinyasa, you know, fast.
So what's yin for people who don't know?
Yin yoga is soft, deep stretches. It's a practice of acceptance. It's very meditative. So you're doing long, deep holds, you can really get into your head, which a lot of people don't like, because you know, there's things in there that you have to reflect on. And this is actually what happens. This is a practice of self-discovery, self-inquiry, and everything. I was a victim. I was like, you know, you're doing this to me, you're doing that, everything's happening to me. And through this practice of yoga, I was able to see that I have power inside.
You started taking responsibility.
I started taking responsibility. Mm-hmm. So in this class that I accidentally went to, in Shavasana, I mean, it was really difficult for me to be in my head this much. And in Shavasana, my grandmother came to me, you know, which was beautiful. She was, you know, gave me unconditional love like none other. And she was a really big part of my life. She had been gone for about 3 or 4 years. And this was a you know, a really intense spiritual experience for me. My first ever like this. And I was crying, you know, I was bawling in yoga. And then I was looking around, I was like, oh, is anybody going to see me? Or, you know, I was going to be embarrassed. And, you know, I ran out of yoga and I went home and my husband was like, what happened to you? You went to yoga. Why are you crying? So this really, you know, I was held in such a beautiful space. And then with the unconditional love of someone like Sarah, and then my grandmother came to me with this unconditional love, and that's all I wanted was unconditional love. So, you know, if I had to say what is it that can, you know, where do you start? I was actually given some gifts, you know, and then I took it. I was probably given other gifts and I didn't take them, but I reached, you know, for these I guess they're mentors, guides, and you know, I've just felt so much love, and you know, that was an amazing feeling.
I think you took a leap of faith, because that was exactly what you needed in this moment, and the universe showed up in a way for you, right?
Yeah.
But you were ready for it, and I see that all the time, and I think about it a lot. Like, sometimes I will be given opportunities and I grasp hold of them. And then I wonder, why didn't I see those opportunities a while back ago, or a year ago, or 2 years ago? And I think it, for me, it is, I wasn't ready in that moment to see that opportunity. And it might sound very unscientific or woo-woo, but in a way, I think, like, when you're ready and you show that, that attracts people or definitely the right environment. Do you agree with that?
I definitely agree with you. I read something in a book earlier, and it said, what's meant for you will never miss you.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, acceptance. Everything is meant to be. I believe this. I didn't before, but I also wasn't living in trust. And this is another thing that I've cultivated through my healing is trust. Trust of the universe, of myself.
Yeah.
You know, but I started telling the truth. Yeah. So when you start telling the truth, it's easier to trust.
Yeah. I have a question to you that I just thought about. And if all the world leaders and dictators or whatever would do yoga 1 hour a day, how do you think the world would look like?
Oh my gosh, that would be amazing.
Do you think it would be different than it is today?
Yes, of course it would be different. I mean, yoga is, you know, a journey of the self, through the self, to the self. So everybody's not going to be in victimhood. Yeah. If you're looking at yourself, I don't know, it's just, I truly believe that self-inquiry is the way.
Yeah.
And this is what people are doing. They're blaming everyone, you know, everybody's blaming. And so this is creating, separateness, you know, rather than wholeness and togetherness.
So how do you get to, like, I started this a couple of years ago to take ownership for everything that happens in my life, even if I don't feel it's my fault. I started taking and say, yes, this might not be my fault, but I put myself in this situation. I'm going to take ownership and I'm going to change the situation or the relationship or whatever it is. And that completely changed my life. Because now I am in control of my own destiny in a way, instead of always playing the blame game, because there's always someone to blame, right?
Always.
So how does that tie into yoga and, like, your vision of, like, how to live a life?
I mean, I started doing this also, taking ownership. I think it's a lot of forgiveness. You have to forgive yourself quickly, because when you're making mistakes or doing things that aren't really working out for you, you just have to pick back up and start over and then forgive yourself and forgive others that are on your path too, because this is part of the blame game, you know, because there are people that do get in the way and do things that aren't going to work for you, and you just also need to have a good practice of letting go.
Yeah.
And this is one thing that I never wanted to do. I wanted to hold on to everything and everyone and every belief and every, you know, pattern. I could not let go. And when I started letting go of, you know, what wasn't serving me, then what was meant for me could come to me. This is, you know, energy. It's how it works.
It is. So let's talk about Worthy Beyond Purpose.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, like, what are you guys doing? And I want to talk more about being worthy, because that's something that I've really realized that there's so many people that don't feel worthy, even if they have, like, what everybody else would say is beauty or richness or family or relation. Yeah. There's people that have everything, but they don't feel worthy. So, like, I want to talk more about that. But let's talk about your organization that you're doing and what are you guys trying to do?
Okay, so Worthy Beyond Purpose, it's our nonprofit. And we are transforming the world one mindful kid at a time. And the Dalai Lama says that if every 8-year-old is taught to meditate, then world violence would be eliminated in one generation. So this is what we're doing. You know, we would love, and what how it came about was my friend Connie Clotworthy had this idea. There was, I think it was 2017, January, and there was a school shooting, and the president said something about, you know, arming our the school guards. So she had put something on Facebook and said, you know, how about arming our children with the tools, you know, emotional regulation, you know, why are people reacting so much? Yeah. And so she kind of put this Facebook message out, and people were like, yeah, I want to do this. So it started there, and we started volunteering at some places, a place called Home in South Central Los Angeles, the YMCA, Walgrove Elementary. There's a couple more.
So how do they, like, it's amazing, but how do you get the kids to actually sit still and meditate, or how's the process?
So, I mean, just depending on the ages, but, you know, they are really receptive. We, you know, usually do a little bit of movement first, get the wiggles out. We make it like a game. You know, we do a lot of breathing exercises where we're connecting with a tree or with an animal, with a snake. You know, we're kind of putting it in a different reference that they can relate to, and they like that. Yeah. And same with yoga. You know, we do sun salutations. We thank the sun. We thank the Mother Earth. We thank the trees. We thank our heart, and they love it. You know, and it's the same as what we're doing as adults. We're just changing the words a little bit. So it's really beautiful. I don't know if you looked at our gallery, but
I did, yeah.
the kids, you know, when you just see them going in, they're like, they're in their hearts. It's so beautiful.
It's amazing. My mom, is her dream was always to work in kindergarten. So, but my parents had a business for many years, but now later in life, she got the opportunity to work with kids. And they had this project where they started doing yoga with kids last year. And it's been amazing if you make it fun and like what you're doing. So I truly believe in that. And it hurts me so bad when you see people hurting.
Yes.
So, and a lot of times, like, we are hurting ourselves in a way. And I just wanted to kind of see, what would you kind of say to somebody that wakes up, they look themselves in the mirror and say, like, they just say, I fucking hate you, you know? They don't like themselves. Like, what is the start to change? Like, how do you change that? Because everybody deserves to start loving themselves and feel worthy. But it's so easy to say, the journey is a different way. So can we just talk about that, and what would be the first step, you know?
Yeah, well, I encounter this, you know, I'm also a nurse, and I work in the emergency room, and I have a lot of homeless and a lot of people that are dealing with addiction that have come in. And I had this man one time, you know, he was a homeless man, and I talked to him and I asked him about his life and I was making eye contact and he was so surprised. And he said this, you know, that you know, he hated himself. And I told him that I saw him and that, you know, and this is something else that I learned from Sarah, is this inner child work, that I saw him as a boy, you know, before everything was done to him or he was told what he couldn't be or what he was. And, you know, I believe that we are all that 5-year-old child underneath. So if you can get to that, you know, and people just need to be loved. What am I going to say to somebody? I would say that, you know, I love them and that they're worthy of love. And these are words, you know, but beyond the words, like I said, I make eye contact a lot with people that come into the emergency room. Sometimes the patients are like looking at me like, you know, they don't encounter this a lot. And I think it's, you know, I am coming from a place of fierce compassion because I've been there. And maybe I don't look like them, but it doesn't always look the same, you know. And I do, I think compassion felt deeply can move people and change their hearts, you know.
Yeah, I agree with you. And one thing that I want to encourage everybody that are listening to this is to, like, see people and, like, talk to people. Don't be so rushed all the time. I myself do that mistake a lot of time. I'm going to do this, that, check everything off. And then, hey, like, this is a person I'm sitting here with. That's why I love having these conversations, because I get to shut down my phone, get to shut down everything, and actually be here. But see people and ask how they are. Look them in the eye, even if it's someone that you don't know. It could be an older person. It could be a homeless person. It could be someone that needs you in this moment. Mm-hmm. It can be anybody. Like, I've been there myself. I feel so lonely and sad, and someone tells me a joke or gives me a compliment, and it means the world. Even though I see myself as a confident guy, and I know a lot of people don't approach me in a way because they are, I don't know what it is, but I don't know if I look aggressive or something, I don't know. But I always want to talk to people, and sometimes you need to talk to the people that, like, are shy too,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
So these kids, like, what have been the most profound moment during this journey working with the kids?
So I just came back from Tanzania. And this was actually the most profound. There's several, but this was so beautiful to be in a country that's this poor. We were at this school. We approached the person that we were with that's local had mentioned it to them. We went to the school and talked to the headmaster, and he was just sitting there looking at us. He's like, "So, what are the benefits of this yoga?" And he spoke English. And so we told him, and he said, "Okay, all right, we'll do it." Come back in 10 minutes, and he had us 5 classes of 30 kids. We went under a tree outside, had the first 30 kids, and they all speak Swahili. So we had our friend who was a local translating, and we talked about the breath work. We did some breath work with, it's called snake breath, for getting out frustrations, and they were all like looking like little snakes, and it was so, so cute. And then when I did the yoga, did the sun salutations, and we inhaled, reached up, thanked the sun, exhaled, thank Mother Earth, and then come back, thank our heart. And so by the time the classes ended, it was a couple hours, maybe 2 hours, I was saying this all in Swahili. It was Asante Juo is thank you, sun. Asante Dunia is thank you, Mother Earth. Asante Moyo is thank you, heart. And then I did Mountain Pose, Thank You Mountain, and Tree, and they closed their eyes, you know, per my guidance, and they were just really, you could see they were in it, you know, and it's just so beautiful to see this connection. We don't even speak the same language, but we're speaking the language of the heart. We're all feeling this love. So this was my most profound moment for sure.
I mean, I love working with kids. I'm teaching kids in karate as well, and it's incredible. But one thing that I just think about during this conversation, it's so non-ego based, and that's why I love like going to the nest and doing yoga. It's like ego is left behind in a way. Can you just talk about that? How did you, like, where's your ego and how do you work on your ego?
I am constantly watching my ego, which is exhausting. You know, every time I'm faced with a situation, I'm looking at it and like, am I enjoying this or am I enjoying some sort of attention? And, you know, like I said, it can be exhausting. And, you know, I didn't understand the ego. I thought because I was a people pleaser and I was dealing with so much shame, I thought that I was didn't have an ego. And really, and I had such a fear of judgment. I was always so scared. The fact that I teach yoga now is crazy because I couldn't speak in front of people. I didn't want to perform. My mom couldn't get me involved in anything as a child because I never wanted to be seen. I actually was dealing with judgment. Like I was judging other people, which I did not realize. And so that's why I was so scared of being judged. You know, this is a journey from your mind to your heart. This is fear to love. And, you know, this is yoga and meditation. When we sit in meditation, you know, in Sarah's class, she always says, put your head in your heart. Yeah. And, you know, that is what we're doing. I'm not thinking, I'm feeling. Yeah. And my feeling body is love. My heart is love. My mind can start thinking and going awry. So it's just coming to your heart.
Yeah. So what I want to ask, like the last question that I want to ask you here today, Jesse, is to kind of share your favorite quote and we can go from there.
Okay. So I am a big fan of Bob Marley, obviously, you can tell my shirt. Yeah. And, you know, one thing that he said was, live your life for yourself, you live in vain, live for others, and you live again. And I love this, and this is, you know, what my life is all about, and obviously what your life is about is service, because when we're doing for others, our lives are fulfilled.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And Jesse, I just want to say from the bottom of my heart that you came here today, and I know you said it yourself, like when you were a kid, you never wanted to share or like hold classes, like be this force in the world, like this strong power woman, you know, that's so cool. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. It means so much more to me that when it comes from someone that has worked to become this person. And I know it might be difficult, but you're doing it. So I'm super grateful that you came on today and shared your journey. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Peter.
Yeah, and I want to thank everybody that listened to our conversation here today. I hope you took something with you and making changes in your life to create that life that you want to live and be that person of service. I can be 100% sure if you start giving more to the world, you're going to be a happier person. That's for sure, 100%. So
for sure.
Work on it, right?
Yeah.
Give more to the world, be a kind person, you'll get it back, you know, even if you don't ask for it.
Yeah.
And if you want
to love more.
Just love more,
love
right?
More.
Yeah. Move your head to the heart.
Head to your heart.
So yeah, if you like what we are doing here today, I would love for you to give us a review on iTunes, to share this podcast with someone that need to listen to this message. Also check out my book, ilovesuccess.co. We're also gonna put the links to your organization and they can check it out if they wanna support and be a part of that. That's an option too, right?
Yes, it is an option. There is a donate button.
That's awesome, because we more people need to experience yoga and meditation. I truly believe that. I've had an amazing experience with that myself as a martial artist, always trying to be the tough and strong alpha male, but softening up and showing more and leading more with the heart. It's been super helpful. So thanks again and talk soon.
Thank you so much, Peter.